Our reading this morning is taken from the third chapter of St. Paul's letter to the Colossians, beginning with the 12th verse. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another. Even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body. And be thankful. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray now that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. A number of years ago, a young girl, 14 or 15 years old, told the story that one night she had very blatantly disobeyed her parents. Her father had grown up in a very abusive home where his father had very physically taken out his anger at times on his children, even up into their teenage years. And she now had disobeyed her dad and had come home. And he caught her at the back door just as she came in after her blatant disobedience. And he told her later, she reported, that he told her that he had the urge to hit her and to strike her. But instead he said to her, "Today you should be thankful that I have committed myself to end the cycle of physical abuse that was taught to me by my father." If you want to produce an abusive child, abuse your child. Our prisons are full of them. How does God deal with his children when he wants them to behave and act and think a certain way? Think of the text in front of us. Think how God could have worded it to get you and me to behave, to show love and compassion. Think what he could have said. Remember who I am? Do you recall Sodom and Gomorrah? Do you remember Mount Sinai? Do you have any idea of the kind of power and authority that I could hurl at you? Do the names Ananias and Sapphira and their dead bodies mean anything to you? If you don't shape up, if you don't do what I ask, I'm going to come down on you with the full weight of my wrath. But notice instead how gently God deals with us in this text when it comes to how we are to treat other people in our lives. Notice that the Holy Spirit has St. Paul lace this admonition with constant little reminders of the gospel. As the elect of God, holy and beloved, even as Christ has forgiven you, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. You see, God doesn't want to beat love out of you as a Christian. He wants to love out of you. And he doesn't come at you and me with a whip and with threats, but instead he comes with the outstretched arms of his mercy, shown us so beautifully in Christ. David said it so well in Psalm 103, "As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him." Now, St. Paul feels a need in his day to remind the Christians in Colossae, and us too here as well, to remind us of these certain Christian virtues because of two reasons. Number one, because of the sinful nature that I and that you carry around with us in our day-to-day lives, we have a tendency not to act this way. And secondly, we live in a culture and in a society, just as the Colossians did, that holds up a way of treating people that is completely contrary to these virtues that God has given us. Our culture today is just saturated with just the opposite of these things as you read through them. Just think about it in the world that we live in, that we should be tender and merciful and kind and humble and show meekness, be long-suffering with each other, and so on, and forgiving. The world we live in is so much just the opposite of that. Our entertainment today is focused on ridiculing and holding up before all of us all of the things that people have been doing wrong, all of the Hollywood stars and all of their foibles and mistakes. That makes the front page of the tabloids. And the problem is that we, even as Christians, can start to adopt and absorb this way of thinking about how we treat people and how we talk about people, how, in fact, sad to say, how we even talk about fellow Christians. We can start to feel that we have a free license to be able to treat one another in these ways. We also need to remember, as Paul is speaking here to the Colossians and also to us, that how we treat one another and how we talk about one another is part of our public confession of the cross. It's part of our public confession of who Christ is. One of the things that I love today about this computer age in which we live and the technology that we have is the ability to go on the web and find the public statement and confession of any church body. When someone comes to my office and asks me, what do you know about so-and-so? It just takes a matter of minutes to click, make a few clicks, and to find there on their website their public statement and profession of what they believe and so on. And even more than likely, the church body you belong to has one of these. But let's not forget as Christians in this world that how we talk about people, how we treat people, is also a public creed. It's a public profession and statement of the gospel that we love so dearly. We confess Christ before the world, not only with our statements of faith, but also with our lives, with our compassion, our humility, our kindness, the way that we speak about one another in a gentle way, our willingness to forgive. Jesus says to his church, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven. If you're like me, every once in a while when you really start to think about how fantastic the gospel is and how tremendous it is that we're so completely forgiven by God for Jesus' sake, and that we have the hope of going to heaven. If you're like me, every once in a while, you just wish you had the opportunity to personally walk up to Christ and thank him for that, which someday we'll get to do by God's grace. Jesus has decided not to let that be the way of doing it right now, because he's not here according to that local mode of presence as he once was in world history. But instead, he's decided to send a substitute. It's your roommate, it's your friend, it's your classmate, your spouse, your coworker. These are the substitutes that Christ has left as opportunities for you and me to be able to show and demonstrate that we belong to him, our gracious Savior. And if you or I have any questions about how to respond, about what is the character of how we as Christians should respond to other people in the world, God would have us just reflect back a little bit on some of the great stories in Scripture, the wonderful narratives that demonstrate this character to us. The prodigal son. I remember years ago watching a cartoon version of the prodigal son, and the tenderness of the father going to the son when he comes back started to almost make me want to cry. To think how God so gently has treated us, even through a cartoon that can be conveyed. Think of how Jesus dealt so compassionately with the woman caught in adultery who was about to be stoned, or the thief on the cross. When we hear these stories and hear them read, we as Christians identify with how God has treated these individuals so gently and compassionately, because that's how he's treated us in the waters of baptism and through his word of absolution and in the sacrament. But more than that, we also identify with the very character that is found in these wonderful virtues that God shows us in these stories. When we see them, observe them, we say to ourselves, yes, that is exactly how I expect my God to act. That is the nature of his character. It strikes a chord in us and creates a similar response in our hearts. This summer, a friend took me out to show me his vineyard, his garden, that had just included a beautiful new vine that he planted 2 years ago, and this is the first year now that the vine is producing grapes. And he was so proud as he walked me through there and showed me how big these grapes were getting. He brought along some little strips of cloth and began tying the branches back up to the wires that he'd put so that they could continue to produce more grapes. When our gracious and loving Heavenly Father walks through the vineyard of his holy Christian church, is he ever proud? Does he like to look at the grapes on the branches, those who are clinging to Christ? Does he ever like to hold those up and see how beautiful they are? Let us never fall into the false thinking that somehow our lives are irrelevant to God. He's watching all the time, and he loves to see when the very character that he has shown to us in the compassion he has for us in Christ starts to come out and show in our day-to-day lives. The very things that have given you and me the absolute certainty of going to heaven, he loves to see that also in the grapes on his branches. Amen. Let us rise. Almighty and everlasting God, you have made us heirs of your eternal and great promises. Increase in us daily the gifts of faith, hope, and love, that we may love all that you command. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.